Happy Sabbath, Church. Happy Sabbath, Church. That's much better. Not just a slogan, but Happy Sabbath, isn't it? Thank you. As I set up this technology, allow me to drink some water. Now it's interesting because the whole church will be seeing me drinking water, and those online. Right. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I must say, when I learned that my dear wife will be giving the children's story, I said, I believe I'm a deacon at Watford Town Church. And as a deacon, I will make sure I try as much as possible to make it comfortable for her, that she doesn't have to walk to get the mic and wrestle with the chair. And if she doesn't wrestle with the chair, it means I'm a good husband. And it all stems back to our sermon today, God is Love, the eternal equation of happiness. Amen. It's good to see Brother Harry in church.
Thank you.
And good to see you all. And I know we don't have too much time, but I can assure you, because God is love, we will be happy and we'll live in time and fellowship together with joy, love, and harmony. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you because you are God. We thank you that even as we try to make our own equations of eternal happiness, you still remind us that it is your love that equates and takes us to salvation, because at the end of it all and the cornerstone of salvation is your love. And that's why you planned redemption. Thank you, Lord. Take charge now as I speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I've said, our sermon today is God is love, the eternal equation of happiness. And I must say, if I were to ask any of us today, say, what is it that you seek for, especially in these last days? Perhaps some of you talk about just being happy. Some of you talk about actualizing or attaining certain things that you want. But ultimately, everything points us to just being happy. And when Elder Raleigh, when we were in the vestry, when he was asking me what is it that I should say about you, I said, Elder, as much as you know about me is basically who I am. I think for me the theme, I remember the last time I stood before you in this accord to speak to you was in August, I believe, last year, to preach. And I remember saying that I love to see people happy. And I still live by that, because I believe behind happiness, it's God's love. What are the things that we are chasing is one of the things that we'll look at today in our sermon. And obviously, we'll look at four parameters of what God's love is and the eternal equation of happiness. We'll look at the foundation or where happiness actually comes from. We will look at the hard part of loving. We'll bring in the aspect of children, the connection with children. And finally, we will conclude with a happy ending, choosing the equation of God. And so to begin our sermon this morning or this afternoon, I asked the question, what are we chasing? And I said many of us could be looking to situations where we just want something. It could be career advancement, it could be relationships, it could be property, it could be enhancing or enriching your wealth. There is nothing wrong whatsoever with all those that you seek. I mean, if you ask myself personally, I believe as long as I've lived, I found myself in situations where I sought happiness. Could be at work, it could be in my family, it could be in my friendships. When I was a young boy, I played a lot of football to the point where I thought I would be a footballer by profession. But of course, if you have a bit of following with football, you know that most of the games are played on Saturday. And I remember it was never the easiest conversation with my father. But as it were, I'm happy that I took this path. Nothing against those who are footballers or whatever it may be. But all this is coming back to the question I've asked. What are we chasing? Some of us are chasing after money, wealth, even health. But perhaps we may be doing it the wrong way, because like smoke, we want the tangibles so fast, and the moment you feel you have the smoke, it's not with you. It's like trying to say I can run a kilometer with sand in my hands, but my hands open. It is an exercise in futility. But if we turn the tables around, or we turn the equation around, we find ourselves singing an old hymn, 579, "'Tis love that makes us happy." We sing that God is love. We are his little children. We will be like him. We probably may have been looking for happiness in wrong places. But something I want to tell you today is that we need to love the right way. And what does that mean? It's a very loaded statement, I believe. Loving the right way is understanding that the foundation of this love that we find ourselves seeking or trying to share is from God. We cannot produce or share love minus allowing God to be in us or to work with us. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul talks about this where he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you notice something important here. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit and not the work of the Spirit. You don't manufacture fruit. My daughter thinks I can, because from nowhere she'll just wake up and cry for a favorite fruit, even when we do not have it. But obviously, as a father, you have to make plans and share that fruit. And like Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. We can't manufacture fruit. We obviously cannot glue apples together. Fruit grows naturally when the tree is healthy and connected to the root. And in like manner, for as long as we are not connected to the root, who's Jesus Christ, it's an exercise in futility. We will fill the void where after maybe you've actualized what you wanted, it could be a promotion, it could be some income, whatever it may be that satisfies or makes you feel happy in that moment. But within a few seconds, or a day if you're lucky, or a week perhaps, it goes back to the same cycle. It's because perhaps you and I are trying to experience happiness and love in the wrong way. And that's why today I try to remind us that the eternal equation of happiness is God, and God is love. Amen. The world has told us that the equation to happiness is getting and having, and you'll be happy. But like I've just said and explained, if you search within yourself, you will realize that many a time when you've gotten and you've had, you still feel empty. And it is because of loving the wrong way. Here's what I've learned the hard way. Like I've mentioned, you cannot produce joy by trying to be joyful. Joy is not the starting line, it is the finishing line. It's what happens when love is present, and not just love, God's love. In Sabbath School today, this week's lesson was talking about reconciliation and hope. And I believe there is no reconciliation whatsoever without God's love. And there cannot be any reconciliation that gives birth to hope, minus God's love. So everything is a sum total of God's love. No wonder it is what I call the eternal equation of happiness. You see, friends, in 1 John 4, verse 19, it puts it simply. We love him because he loved us first. We didn't start this, God started it. And that's the beauty about this topic. Whilst we may wrestle and think of how to extend love to the next person, to your family, to yourself as well, we need to get back to the basics. God loved us first. In Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when I look at the story of Jesus and the story of redemption, I try to fit myself into the equation. Many a time and always I find myself failing. I do not think I can sacrifice my child. And I'm being honest, to save humanity. And that's why I'm not God, obviously. But his love is so eternal, so you can't understand, you can't fathom it, that he was ready to sacrifice his own son for your salvation and my salvation and for our happiness, which is eternal, which is promised. I've just talked about joy. Obviously, if you read with me, there's something, I came across this quote from Ellen White, which talks about salvation, and if you read in between and try to understand and decipher, it is all but talking to love. Ellen White in Review and Herald's June 1st, 1905, which is more than 100 years ago, says, there are those in the world upon whose hearts God is moving, and if they but knew the principles of present truth, they would need the message for this time and would go forth to give it to others. What is this? Love. Joy as a fruit of the Spirit, like Paul admonishes us or tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it is that which we can share and experience love between one and another. Even as you see today in church, seated next to a friend, a brother, a sister, you can share the love, share the joy, and in the end, you will feel fulfilled. We move on to the next part, which is the hard part of loving each other. Now, here is where it gets tricky, because the hymn that doesn't just say God is love. It says it's love that makes us happy. Now, probably at this particular point, you're wondering, love, like we learned in Sabbath school, or reconciliation as it may be, is a two-way thing. It goes both ways. But sometimes I believe we found ourselves in situations where you feel so hurt by a colleague or a friend or a brother or a sister or whatever it may be. That makes it so hard to love that person. In other words, this love isn't just something we receive, it's something we give. And this is where it gets complicated, because there should be reciprocation, equal measure. I share my love, you give me your love. It will never be one way, but not with God. God will always love us because he loved us first. He is the only one where, when it comes to love, it has got nothing to do with reciprocation. His love is one way because he loves us, but obviously it becomes two way when we love him back. But his love is unconditional.
You see, Jesus said something very radical in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I don't think you caught it. Let me repeat. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Full stop. "By this all," not some, "all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." To follow Jesus and to follow Christ means we are his disciples. And to be qualified to be his disciples, we ought to have love. I call this radical because Jesus does not say the love is conditioned by how many times you stand at the pulpit and preach, how many times you conduct or review the Sabbath school lesson, how many times you smile and welcome visitors, how many times you try to be the bigger brother, but it is by being loving to one another. And honestly, that's terrifying, isn't it? Because, like I mentioned earlier, it is something so fundamental that from a human element, for as long as there's no God in us, it is not easy to reciprocate love. However, at the moment we open up ourselves to say, "God lead," everything is done. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." You see, I love this phrase, fervent love, not lukewarm love, not love when it's convenient, but fervent, passionate, determined love. I believe it should have been a couple of years when the Adventist youths had the theme, "Love is a Verb." It is exactly what we are talking about here. Love that is just not happy Sabbath, but genuine happy Sabbath, because you genuinely love your Christian brother and you genuinely love your Christian sister. Let me tell you a quick story that I heard. There were two ladies that had grown up in an SDA church, brought up, their parents were elders. They grew up in the same church. I'll call one, I hope no one is Sarah in here, and I hope no one is Diane. I'll call one Sarah and one Diane. So Sarah and Diane were raised in the church. They attended Sabbath school. They grew up in the church, basically. And as life would be, it takes you different paths, isn't it? Sarah left for studies, and Diane remained at church because she studied locally. But before Sarah left, they had a very bad argument, and it led to Diane saying so bad things about Sarah, to the point of saying so bad things to Sarah on behind her back to other people about things that she, and basically untruths that were hurting and damaging to Sarah's character. So when she was back from studies and rejoined the local church, you could tell that their relationship was never the same. These two former best friends from a very young age could not sit next to each other. They could say hi, hello to their parents, but their friendship was cut. And I mean, everyone in church and the parents knew that there was something wrong. But you see, as time went by, one preacher conducted a sermon, and he preached on Matthew 5, verse 23. Where, if you may allow me to read, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts. At this particular point, Sarah felt like God was speaking directly to her based off what had happened many, many years ago. And it's at this point that she said to herself, whatever Diane may have done to me, I will be the bigger person, and walk up to her and just say, look, I was too proud. This happened, and let's put the past behind us. In Sabbath school, I think one of the comments said, there's people that say, forgive but don't forget. It doesn't work like that with God. When he died for our sins and gave us redemption, it didn't mean that at some point he will undo everything to say we are starting afresh. It is for us to work towards what God has done for us. This story ends in a beautiful scenario because both ladies reconcile. They realize that they had pride in them. They realize that both of them did not practice godly love. And it made them bitter, and bitterness steals away from your happiness. And with bitterness, forget about happiness. The child connection. You see, friends, when we talk about love and it being the cornerstone of happiness, children come to my mind. It is no wonder God initiates this love and gives us pretty much a practical element of how we are to live this love with one another. In Matthew 18, 3, verse 4, Jesus says, assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as the little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason why Jesus uses this analogy. It is because if you, like me, have experienced how children relate, it's not complex, but it's something that you can't understand. My daughter will be ranting and throwing things at me and toys, and once it hits my face or something like that, she will run to me and say, are you all right? But this is the same person who was hitting me. She sees nothing wrong because her love is so pure and innocent. When I was trying to meditate and prepare for this sermon today, I stumbled upon this video.
What is this?
Let's take a listen.
I think it's not a real microphone.
I don't want this furry thing here. It's fluffy.
What is love? When you love somebody.
It's a thing that comes from your heart.
Like when you hug someone or kiss someone.
And you can do nice things to them.
Like you love your mommy. Like so happy.
It's when you meet someone and then you really like them and then you like love them.
You love to love them because you love to.
Well, not everybody, but I do love people.
It makes you feel so good.
It's so important because you really just love people no matter what and you love them forever, and that's why.
Those are little kids. They're being asked what they believe love is. And you can see from their innocence. They basically summarize what we are trying to talk about. Some of them say it's just loving people. One of them says not everyone, but just loving people. And then someone says you hug them because you love them. It is so pure and innocent. And that is why if we try to be like children, the child connection, being like children, children show eagerness. I just gave an analogy of how my daughter and I will be entangled in a small fight, but whilst the adult in me is like, why is she throwing toys at me? Before I can react, she's all over me trying to apologize. Turn the tables, if it's an adult that did that, oh God, have mercy. I will try to search within my memory to say, why was this reaction? Where is it coming from? What did I do? First of all, I try to take stock of myself. Have I done something to deserve these missiles? But with children, there is nothing like that. And it is no wonder Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like for little children. Because the love is innocent, it's pure. Children forgive and renew without even having been taught what forgiveness. Of course, the world we live in begins to program them, we, the parents, and everyone that surrounds them. They begin to adapt or pick several things that drift them away. And it is for this reason why we may have forgotten how to love because we have become adults. We need to go back to being like little kids, very happy, at the same time applying the principles that Jesus Christ has shared with us with respect to God's love. Choosing the happy ending. Choosing the equation of God's love. Now we've been on a journey. We've talked about God's love from what we ought to do. God demonstrates to us that the foundation of his love, of this, his love comes from him and him alone. We've talked about how hard it is to love because of human conflicts, of human interaction, we have every so often and not, we step on each other's toes with conditions attached to forgiveness. We've come on to learn that for us to be pure, forgive, and love, we ought to be like children. Now it is the time for us to reach the conclusion of it all and choose the equation of God's love, the happy ending. This happy ending, brothers and sisters, requests or requires that you and I participate. We could do this by having intentional acts of love, because love is a true mark of happiness, and we've established that true love comes from God. We so often hear about outreach, fellowship, led by the personal ministries team. But I can assure you that for as long as there's no love, we can do all we want. As long as there's no God's love, there'll always be a void. I can stand here to share the word of God. I can stand here to listen to Eden singing. And thank you, Eden, again for that beautiful song. I should have said that earlier, but thank you so much. I could be here sitting, listening to Eden or whoever is singing here, or a preacher. But for as long as there is no love that is inspired by God, brothers and sisters, we might as well just knock off and go home. But I believe God has brought us here for a reason, and I'm not here to discourage anyone, but rather to encourage and assure you that God is love, and he will ensure that the love that we are to share is eternal, because he's extended and his arms have always been open to join him on this journey of love, because love is heaven. Do you realize, or have you ever taken a step to think about heaven? I have a couple of times. I'll read Revelation 21 verse 4, which gives this picture. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is heaven. We sing in our theme song, "'Tis Love That Makes Us Happy." We sing that this world is full of sorrow, sickness, death, and everything else. But we conclude to know that there shall be no more tears, because heaven is love, eternal, and happiness. It fulfills the equation. From our discussion or sermon today, if there's anything that you can remember, is that God's love is eternal. It was eternal from the beginning, and it will be eternal till the end. And this love is happiness, which we shall find even in heaven. Revelation just told us there will be no more tears. Why no more tears? Because the thing that causes all tears, selfishness, sin, broken relationships, will be gone. And the love that will crush all these is perfection, because God is perfect and his love is perfect. And that's where you and I should be aspiring and aiming for, and that is where I can assure you we are headed to. Because for as long as I know that my God lives, your God lives, I believe, his love is eternal, and it will give us a product of happiness. And that completes the equation. Like we have said, obviously we've spoken about love as a, it is a spiritual preparation of heaven. Like I've said, acts of love and forgiveness, the journey toward the ultimate joy, which I've just said. Ultimately, we are on this journey, our Christian journey, to be happy and to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I can assure you, no sad person will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it is up to you, it is up to me, to embrace that love of God that closes it all and fits us into the equation. At one point or another, we may have done mathematics, and you know the equation means the left-hand side and the right-hand side have to equate. And when we say God is love on the left-hand side, it is no wonder we say on the right-hand side, it's the eternal equation of happiness. May you be blessed today. Whatever it is that you may have or harbor in your heart, myself inclusive or included, I'll challenge myself and any of us in the church today. Just think of one person. It could be a colleague. It could be a friend you had many, many years ago. You're still not in contact. Or someone who just recently stepped on your feet or on your toes or whatever it may be. Or something that you've just not come to terms with. Open up your heart. Let God lead. Let kindness and God's love encompass and take charge. And you'll see the wonders of God's love. Have a blessed Sabbath, church. Amen.